I think it's important to not be reinforcing chicken nuggets. And not that there's anything wrong with chicken nuggets. Listen, my daughter loves some good chicken nuggets sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to also do other things.
Who doesn't love a good chicken nug?
Right.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to Readouting. This is a pre-Christmas episode, and I hope all your gifts are wrapped and you are nicely setting back for a quiet Christmas season. So just before you go for a little break, we thought we'd drop in a quick episode, something that I'm sure you would really enjoy. Today's guest is Laura Rogano, who Tiffany knows from Chicago. And Laura runs chef school for little kids called We Chef. Laura is trained as a culinary professional from the French Pastry School. And while working with various pastry chefs, Laura was on her way to be a mother. And her daughter arrived in 2010. And when it was time for her to go back to work, she took this opportunity to create something that would not only combine her profession, but also something that she'd loved and would also allow her time to be with her daughter. And from this, We Chef was born, and Laura is excited to share her passion and knowledge with families that come to We Chef and build that love for cooking together, really, from scratch with skills, flavor, and fun. And in this episode, we find ourselves really curious about what gets kids excited about cooking, how she manages kids with different cultures, and what do kids really take away home? Not just an amazing dish that they have prepared, but also some real life skills. And I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. And once you're through it, we would love for you to follow us on Instagram and drop us an email on what made you take in this episode. With that, here's Laura Rogano.
Laura, it is so nice to finally have you here on Rerouting. You and I have known each other for a really long time. Our girls met in Chicago, which is where you and I met, which is where so many of my friends come from, now that I realize. I think, would I be friendless without my kid?
I have one really good friend who I would have met without my child. Okay. But otherwise, I think it's mostly...
Well, we don't have to wonder.
That's okay. No
shame
in
that. We wouldn't know
that.
Each other exactly. If not for our girl. But that's not why you're on the show with us today. I'm so excited to introduce you to Deep and all of our listeners, because you...
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Nice to meet you, Deep.
You have a very cool company, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Sounds good.
So let's start there. Why don't you introduce yourself a bit?
So my name's Laura Rogano. I own a business called We Chef. I do cooking classes for kids. And the reason I opened it was I worked in the restaurant industry for a long time. And then I actually moved into culinary education and was a chef for about 10 years at a pastry school here in Chicago. And I was teaching adults who were going to become pastry chefs. Then I had said daughter that we have been discussing. Mm-hmm. And I actually was lucky enough to be able to take off some time and be a stay-at-home mom with her. And I am so grateful for that time I had. But then it was time for me to go back to work. And being a chef and parenting is not the best work-life balance.
Those are rough hours.
Rough hours. And I was so fortunate to have all this time with my daughter that I didn't just want to disappear on her and be like, peace out. That was great. See you
later.
It was
a fun few years. Off you go.
Yes, it was fun while it lasted, right? So I really felt strongly about creating something that would work for her and myself. I'm a single parent and I needed to do that. And, you know, I actually tossed around changing careers, but I was like, I love my career and I've worked hard to establish myself in my career. So long story short, I came up with We Chef and it has done exactly what I've wanted it to do. You know, I own my own business. So certainly there are challenges. Certainly, you know, I work on weekends, you know, and she has spent a lot of time at We Chef, but I have a little mini futon for her in my office. She cuddles up in there. She's all good. And
also, what
you
a
know,
cool way
during,
to grow up. Like, I know that there's this idea of like everything should be separate and you should have this dedicated time always. But the truth is, especially for us single moms, your kid is life and life doesn't stop.
Yes.
Just around your kid, right? And I just choose to see it as what an amazing opportunity for her to see her mom passionate, to get to be around this. Like, she's really a part of it all. And
she totally is.
I think it's amazing. And she's, what a cool mom. What a cool job.
You're giving me a lot of credit here, but thank you. But, you know, and she's also watched me build a business, you know, and like stand on my own two feet, you know, and I felt so fortunate during COVID that she could do school from my office. You know, so many parents struggled with having to work and take care of their children. Yeah. And I just got to bring my child to work. So it has given me the balance that I need. So and it's good. And like once a year, I have her class from school come to, you know, and do a class with me as a field trip. So like, you know,
I
like,
do know.
And she walks in, you know, and she's like totally proud of it. It's super cute. Yeah. So no, it's good. So
Very cool.
Yeah.
What's the backstory of WeChef? What's the backstory of the name?
Yeah, I'm not sure everybody that's not from America can appreciate how cute this branding is.
Thank you. So when you're in a kitchen and a chef gives you an order, you say the only thing the chef wants to hear from you is, yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
That's it. You know, when you're on a line cooking and the chef throws you there, you say, yes, chef. And I worked for Frenchmen most of my career. And so that then turns it into We Chef. And so it's a very important phrase in cooking. And so then OUI also sounds like WEE, meaning little.
Like little tiny chefs.
And I have to be honest, I am no branding genius here, and it just popped in my head, and it was one of the first things that popped in my head.
Oh, this is literal and branding genius then.
I chalk it more up to...
Listener, I didn't even try. It was just an accident. It was so good.
No, it was very... And I like thought about a bunch of other stuff, and I was like, no, I think I need to stick with that Wee Chef thing. It seems like that's the one, and it's simple. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's where that story comes from.
We Chef. Oh, so cute.
You said you worked at a French pastry shop, was it? Or
so I worked in restaurants for a while. I did go to two culinary schools, one of them being the Culinary Institute of America in New York. As I was there, I realized I wanted to specialize in pastries. So when I left there, I got jobs in pastries and worked for a while. But I was feeling like I was being taught a lot of bad habits and corner cutting, and I didn't really dig that. So I wanted to get some more formal pastry education. So I enrolled in the school that's in Chicago. It's actually no longer here. They have shifted their thing because of COVID. But anyways, I enrolled in school there, had a great experience there. And when I was graduating from there, they were growing. And so they needed kind of an assistant kind of person, like take care of stuff. And I was lucky enough to be offered a job after graduation. And then I was there for 10 years and just worked up to being a chef instructor there. And I worked for two amazing French pastry chefs who were world champion pastry chefs. So yeah, they were great.
And now you're teaching kids how to make pastry so that they don't have to ask their parents how to get one.
Yes. And one of my things at We Chef is we cook real food, you know? And when I say real food, we're not doing kid food. Like this week, we're making eggplant rollatini. Last week, we made pavlova. You know, it's real food. And as long as you break it down into simple steps, they can make real food. And the parents really like that we're making real food. You know, we're not making chicken nuggets. And when we make mac and cheese, it's real like steakhouse mac and cheese with a bechamel sauce and, you know, that kind of thing. Because I think it's important to not be reinforcing chicken nuggets. And not that there's anything wrong with chicken nuggets. Listen, my daughter loves some good chicken nuggets sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to also do other things.
Who doesn't love a good chicken nug? That's fair.
Right.
But I think that brings us to the first really important thing I want to talk with you about, which is your whole philosophy around how you're running your school. I mean, we know for obvious reasons, because of your daughter, you wanted your own business, but it didn't have to be for kids. So why do this? What is your philosophy? Tell us more.
I'm going to be honest, my philosophy is simple as, again, I did this for my daughter. And if there are a couple of things going on. Mm. I love being a parent. I did not like kids. I don't want to say I didn't like kids. I didn't know how to relate to kids prior to my nephew being born. Mm-hmm. So, and then my daughter being born and being home with her for those years, like I really was like, I'm actually pretty good with hanging with kids. So there's that component. Again, my goal was for some work-life balance. So if I was teaching adults, I was going to be at work until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And I really didn't want to do that. So no kid is going to be at cooking class at 9 o'clock at night.
So the idea was bedtime hours.
So yeah, I mean, so there was that component too.
Totally appreciate that.
That's when the cooking genius comes out, though. Like 9 o'clock. My son is the best at night.
And then some of my other philosophies with how I run my facility, opposed to other kid cooking schools, and there are lots of really great kid cooking schools out there, is something that's incredibly important to me is my kids. 90 to 95%. Or to 100%, I should say, 90 to 100%, they are doing things on their own. It is their recipe. They are creating it in an individual portion on their own. So when they are done, they can say, this is mine. You know, we're not scooping it. Every now and then we make a soup. Clearly, I don't have, you know, enough burners for every kid to make their own soup and stuff like that all the time. But they can really say, this is mine. I made this. Take this to, and they take this to their parents with pride and say, look at what I made. You know, it's not something that I made mostly for them, you know? So that was really important to me, is for the kids to have some pride in what they do, because when they have pride in what they've made, they're like, I made this. I want you to try this. I should want to try this too, because I'm really proud of it. So that was really important to me. And that was a huge component for me, is the individual work portion. And even at birthday parties, every kid makes their own pizza. Every kid makes their own cupcake. Every kid cuts their own fruit salad. You know, it's really, really
that's
important.
That's a great point. Well, one thing is, Olive suffered from picky eater syndrome. She had all sorts of aversions. And I mean, I tried every trick in the book, right? To hide things, to convince her to use positive reinforcement, every trick in the book. But the thing that ended up, that I saw the most consistent results with, was her taking part. And when she was a part of the process and at the end was sitting with that pride that you just mentioned, saying, well, I made dinner, or I made this thing, or I did this part, or even when she was little, like very tiny and just like stirring something, right? Well, I helped make that. And it was a game changer. It was a game changer.
It really is. And also, you talk about like parents like hide stuff all the time. And I think like when kids aren't stupid, you know, like they're smart little boogers.
Not annoying.
I know, right? And they know that there's a game here and something's being hidden in there. And so when they see it go in, they can be like, okay, I saw it go in. And listen, there are those kids. I have had students who take part in the process and literally eat nothing that they make with me. And they eat nothing at home, though, either. You know, I have had students that live on cereal and their parents are kind of at their wit's end. But here's the thing. It's also about exposure, 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 because they make it and they see it and they love the process. And eventually it will shift, because the exposure has to be pretty, for some of these kids who really dig their heels in. It has to be a lot. Some you see a switch faster, but some really, it takes quite a bit to get them there. But as long as you keep exposing them to it, there will eventually be a shift. Quite honestly, my daughter, the irony is huge. My daughter was terrible when she was little. I mean, even baby food she would spit out, it was awful. And her father's like an executive chef in Chicago, like a really nice restaurant, you know? And
I was that must like, be heartbreaking.
She was exposed to everything. And we didn't see a shift until I don't know, maybe around 7, she started loosening up a little bit. And now she literally eats everything, like everything. She went to Hot Pot with her dad last year and had pig's brains. She literally will try now everything. So she is. But, you know, for a little while, I was like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. So they will, they'll get there.
With Olive, I read at one point, because of course I read everything. I was like, what can I do? And you hide things. And actually, ultimately, what I found is that just breaks trust. And then they don't want to eat anything because they're like, you're a sneaky ass.
Absolutely.
And I'm not into her.
Yes. I agree. I do agree. And the other thing that doesn't work is being forceful and really pushing it on them.
I did do a couple things.
Yeah. Well, and it just, right. You just dig in your heels more.
Yeah, of course. So,
and that's, they do the same thing. Some great things to do is have like a taco bar and give them choices and say, how about you choose one or two items? Start choosing some things that have some variety that they can go to the store with you and say, you get to pick out two ingredients for our taco night or whatever. Yes. You know what I mean? Even just them, you know, we talked about taking ownership in recipe making, but even having some ownership in recipe, like ingredients that we're choosing to have. Again, they've chosen that. So they're going to be more willing to then eat it if they have, again, the ownership.
Yeah.
It goes back to that ownership thing.
How early have you seen, or how early do the kids start, and what are the stages that you've seen kids get involved in at different stages in their life?
18 months old.
Wait, 18 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's so, finger painting with peanut butter and jelly.
You know why? I first entered kitchen when I was 25.
Oh, my gosh.
My first dish at 25. So this is mind-blowing for me.
Well, here, there are a couple things. So, one, clearly they're there with a caregiver. But I have a lot of parents who bring their kids to me because they don't cook and they don't want their children to not cook. So there's that. And also cooking is a lifelong skill and they want their kids introduced to new flavors. So I really try to vary up countries where I'm picking recipes from. We rotate between sweet and savory. So they're wanting, again, they're wanting that exposure for their kids. And lots of them say after the kids jump in, there are kids' knives that you can buy off Amazon or in a variety of places.
Yes.
And so they'll buy those knives and the kids stand next to their parent in the kitchen and, you know, chop up some veggies while the parent's making dinner, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's getting the kids involved.
So I have to find it and we have to, I don't know, put this on our website or our socials or something. The knife you're talking about, I did get for Olive because I was reading articles. This is when I was like doing everything. I had a phase where I was like, dear God, please make this child eat something.
Yeah.
Something that I make, right? And so I'd read it takes up to 13 exposures to know and
appreciate
something.
Yeah, I knew it was a high number like that.
It's very high. That until then, maybe they don't like it, but it takes up to 13 or some ridiculous number of exposures. And so with that, I invented this character who is Tammy Try It. And whenever...
Awesome.
Whenever Olive would take a bite, I like even before I would just be like, oh, I know this is new, or I know last time, you know, you weren't a big fan, but you are such a Tammy Try It. So I know you're going to try one bite. I know you're going to try it. And she at some point, would feel so cool. Like, oh, I'm a Tammy Try It. And then in front of her friends, when her friends were over, they're like, well, what's a Tammy Try It? And then they wanted to be a Tammy Try It. It was amazing.
Yeah. So this is something else that's interesting is there is a gentle peer pressure when eating with other kids, right?
Oh,
at my school, the kids all get their food back at the end of class to try it. And they're all like, oh my gosh, this is so good, blah, blah, blah. And then the one kid who's maybe a little bit more unwilling is like, oh, they're all super excited about what they made. Maybe I should be excited too. And they're, again, very gentle, indirect peer pressure in eating with others. So in more real therapy situations, there are eating groups because you know, you can be around other kids. And again, I see that a lot. I do a portion of my class. I do what's called tasting time. So based on the recipe we're making, we try ingredients based on the recipe we're making. So this week we're making eggplant rollatini. We're trying olive oils this week, and we talk about how olive oil is made, you know, a variety of things like that. And I will never forget, like, this was several years ago. I had had this little girl who was lovely, but she was very picky. And she had been taking class with me for some time. And she was little enough that her mom had to stay with her in class. So for me, five and up gets dropped off. Under five, caregiver remains. But anyways, this little girl tried a raw onion. And the mom's jaw was like literally on the ground. But again, she had been in class with me enough. She trusted me. She knew she didn't have to love it, but just try it, you know? Yeah. And she ate a raw onion. And this mom was like, I cannot believe that. Just she pulled me aside.
You're a miracle worker.
But it was really sweet and it was really exciting, you know? And it was exciting for me too, because it is really fun when those kids have those breakthroughs. And again, it's not always about loving it. You don't have to try it and love it, but you have to try it and experience it. So,
So deep. I'm coming back over here to you because you said you were what, 25 when you first stepped into a kitchen and made something?
I think I'm going to get a lot of eye rolls here, but I have to explain that a little bit.
Progress over perfection. And I will say I've eaten your food. Yeah. So you came a very quick and far way since then. Like you made up for lost time. I'm going to give you that credit.
That was a lot of progress very quickly after that, I must say.
But what's funny is I feel like the paradigm is changing a bit. One thing that we discussed, you know, the holidays are coming up. And as a kid growing up, all the ladies were in the kitchen and also naturally the little girls, because you want to go see what all the ladies are doing. And then also all the guys were out watching football. And I even remember my dance teacher growing up, she had several kids, and one of the boys had just gone to college, and he called her because they were trying to figure out how to boil an egg.
Yeah, I've heard stories like that.
He was in college and had to call his mother and ask the proper way to boil an egg. I mean, granted, it was before Google. So I think people just aren't asking anymore. They're Googling it. But this, and I will say, like, I feel like in Europe, boys are cooking over here. It's different than it is in the States. But you also had a few different things that you noticed around this kind of gender paradigm in the kitchen.
Yes, I think there's some irony with that gender paradigm, because if you look at professional kitchens, it's opposite. I mean, it is much better than it used to be, but most of the kitchens I worked in when I first started out, I was the only woman. So I have always found this to be confusing since I joined the culinary world.
Actually, now that you say it, it's not confusing, because I think about childcare and we answered that at the beginning. Like, of course it's men. Of course it's men, because women have babies and then they're, interesting.
We're just supposed to be at home.
Totally. Right. Totally.
And even in culinary school, when I went, the first culinary school I went to, the Culinary Institute of America, it was usually just me and one other girl in the class. I think there was one time that there were maybe three of us. And I actually, at the end, I went to culinary school with this guy who had a restaurant in their family. Mm-hmm. And he said to me upon leaving culinary school, I will always try to have a woman in my kitchen after working with you guys being me and the other female in the kitchen, because you bring balance to our kitchen and you can hang. But anyways, it's interesting to me how that is different. But I do have a lot of customers who the dad is the cook. Mm-hmm. And I think there's had to be a shift or more of a balance created, because most families these days have two working parents. Mm-hmm.
And eating is universal. Mm. Whether you are a boy or you are a girl or whatever, eating is universal.
Right. Right. So again, I have several kids who have said, no, my dad does all the cooking. So in my family, the reason I'm a chef is my dad's like a really great home cook. And we used to spend Sundays preparing like some elaborate thing. Mm-hmm. We would make like lobster ravioli, or we made like crazy cakes, you know, and my dad would help me with them because I was interested.
Yeah.
And he could do it. He certainly didn't make all the meals in our house, mm-hmm. but he certainly pitched in.
And in your classes, what do you see? Like, are you seeing more of a yeah. fair, like, gender split or?
Yeah, I would say it's a pretty equal gender split. Certainly, I have all classes that are all girls, but I've also had all classes that are all boys. I did have a grandmother call me one time and say, is my grandson gonna like it there? Are there any other boys there? And I was really surprised to get that question. I was like, of
course. So interesting,
there
it's
are
a grandma though,
here.
Right? I feel like that really
but it
does
was a grandmother.
Speak to.
Yeah. Yes, it was a generational question, perhaps.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, I have plenty of boys of a variety of age, from, you know, the 18-month-olds that I have all the way to the tweens. I have lots of boys yeah. who come.
So you have one-off sessions that you do, or is it like a curriculum? Or
I have one one-off class that I do each week, but mostly people are committing to me at least. I do a monthly enrollment. So you're committing to me at least for a month. And so I charge people monthly until they say, okay, Laura, we've had enough. We're done with you.
Anymore.
But we're not hungry anymore. I have a little boy who just turned 9, and he's been with me since he was 3. And
wow.
It's awesome. Wow. You know, it's great. I have a lot of people who I've seen these kids from when they were little kids who needed a parent or nanny mm-hmm. or caregiver to stay with them all the way to. They're getting up into the double, you know, they're closer in the double digits now. So it's pretty fun.
Right.
Yeah. They're good little cooks.
Yeah, I can imagine that much experience is more than Deep had. No.
I got to invite you over again, Tiffany.
Do it. I'm hungry. So Invite me over.
Hey, the reason I asked you is that what are parents not teaching kids at home that they're getting from this setup with you learning in this
course? So I think it's really hard, minus like weekend times. It's hard for parents to involve their kids in dinner always, because I'm always rushing to make dinner when I get home.
Time.
And the thought of involving my daughter, it's going to slow down the process, right? So I think there's that. I have a lot of parents who say to me, we love coming here because my child can make a huge mess and they're not making the mess in my kitchen. I mean, for real, you know, they're like,
I'm cheering over
that,
here.
You know,
go to Laura.
Yeah, because clearly I have created a space that's very washable, right?
Yeah.
And I've noticed this in another component, which I will touch on in a second. So the mess. Because kids don't have the fine motor skills to always get all the flour in the bowl, let's say. Or when they stir stuff, they stir a little bit more erratically that there's a mess. You know what I mean? It's messier when you're cooking with kids. That can be challenging for some parents.
Oh, you're right on my pressure point, Laura. Like, you're right on my pressure point right now.
So the other thing that has been really interesting to me is how often and how much kids are afraid to cook with their hands because it gets them dirty. Washing hands before dinner is certainly a great idea.
Yeah.
And so the thought of food and using our hands, because chefs use their hands to cook. I'm sorry. We do it, you know? And
yeah, but so many cultures use their hands to eat.
Hands to eat too, but not the United States.
Yeah.
You know,
where
I am. I mean, at least the general.
No, you're completely right.
Majority of the population does not. We use
utensils. I'm also guilty of this. I'm very weird about like my fingers. I see people eating like even like chicken wings, right? And some people,
even in the
U.S., they just accept like we about to get messy. Like you're putting in the ponytail.
Yeah.
You're like getting your hands in there. It's on your face. Like, you know, that's about to happen. I'm like, can I get a fork? And like one of those,
but in the
one of those like stabby things for the end of a corn cob, you know, that I can just like hold it and then like rip off. Yeah.
But in the process, sometimes we like mix doughs with our hands, right?
Sure.
And I'll say to the kids sometimes, I'm like, do you play in a sandbox? Like, do you know what happens in a sandbox? Like, you know what I mean? Why can you not mix this food, but you can go to town in a sandbox? It's intriguing to me, but I think it's because we kind of have said we need to be sterile when we are with our food.
But you have created this space where you're like, this is your sandbox. This is the freedom place where you can play and experiment and make a mess.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing.
Yes. And clearly, yeah, every kid before we start cooking has to go to the sink. Washing hands is very important. But that's been interesting to me too. I have to say, I never expected, that is probably the most unexpected thing that happened in making this place, is how often kids have to go to the sink. I mean, I have kids who go to the sink, you know, a little fleck of flour and they're like off to the sink, you know, 6 or 7 times per class. So it's fast. It's interesting.
Yeah, I bet. Deep. I'm not picking on you again. Don't worry. I'm just wondering when
go
dinner
for it.
No. So I went through it like with Olive, right? And I'm pretty much through that stage, and she will try anything. She is like a little sushi goddess. She is still not into spice, which fine, whatever. But you have somebody here. What do you want to work on with Janosch? Or what is like tough for you? Or what do you want to help him be a little better at when it comes to food? Or is he already like just a little foodie adventurer?
Not enough. You know, not enough, right? And I think one of the biggest worries that is for me is we have, Laura, just our background, we have a multicultural family here as well. My wife is German and I'm from India. And my worry is always that he's not even trying half as much a variety of cuisine that's available when I grew up as he's doing it here in Germany. And he's not going to get used to all the various kind of spices and the flavors and all that stuff. And so I'm always trying to get him in the kitchen and get him be the part of the process. But I totally get it when you said people are afraid about the process and the dirt and the mess that gets created. And that's the reason why he's never learned how to cook Indian food, or he's not stayed with me through the process. And the first thing that he did, like a couple of days back, we did together, was to make chai, the very basic Indian, you know, thing to how to make a chai. You know that, Tiff? What I'm talking
you
about?
You mean chai tea?
Chai tea. I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
I was waiting for your chai. No, it's chai.
Yeah. You're saying tea, tea, you dumb
exactly.
dumb.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
Yeah. So is Janosch going to come over and make me a chai? It's like my favorite.
He can now. Yeah, I'm proud to say that. He's on that path.
I would say, Deep, if you could look at your recipe before, just take a couple minutes, don't make it into a thing, and say,
yeah,
he could do this stuff. You don't have to have him there the whole time, but say he could chop these onions, he could stir this together. And so you're not thinking about it being this like whole big process, but just a part of it that then he does have a little piece of that puzzle for you.
Yeah,
break it down. It's totally breaking it down. Yeah, don't look at it as a whole. Look at it as pieces. Because I'm having kids make like real stuff. And so if you look at it as a whole, I'd be insane, you know? But like when you break it down into little sections, just pick a little part for him that he'll be with you for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then he can go away and you can finish it. And pick a part that, depending on your parameters for mess, pick a part if you don't mind the mess, pick something super crazy and fun for him to get really messy with. Or if you really want it to be a more confined thing, pick a part that really isn't going to get you crazy. But, and you can slowly, as he learns more and, you know, gets older, then you can add another step, another step, another step. Yeah. But don't look at it as he has to be there for the whole thing. Even if he is chopped up. Because then when he eats and you say, these onions are so delicious in here. You did such a great job chopping those onions for our food, and just reward like that, you know.
I love that.
It can be as simple as that. Or you measured if you had to measure the spices. Oh my gosh, these spices were so perfectly measured.
Yes.
It is the perfect amount, you know, and just give that praise like that. That's really good.
I love that. I really love that, because I think, you know, when you were talking about this process and the mess and all this stuff and, you know, talking about the reasons why parents come to you, and I was thinking, okay, these are the practical reasons why they can't do it at home. But when you look at this cultural difference that I grew up in India, you know, you're not allowed to enter kitchen just for cultural reasons. You're just not allowed, right? Not expected to. And and if the parents could learn that this is such a, and again, I'm talking to the Indian side of audience, that it's such a essential social skill, and the benefits that you get out of that, exactly that you talked about, celebrating and them being part of this process and just celebrating that little thing that comes out of it, it's just such a big social impact that it has on the development of the child.
Totally. Yeah.
I love it.
I think my favorite part of all of this, I mean, I wish we all had a Laura. I wish we all had a Wee Chef we could send our kids to, right? Because when you're talking about, one, the time, I think for most parents, that's everything. You have to eat every day. It's this daily grind. And yeah, maybe that's why holiday cookies are so special. It's the one time of year you sit with your mom and you really mix it up and you do the whole thing. Like, maybe that's what makes it special. But we don't have that kind of time in our daily life. And also when you talk about the mess, I mean, it's just enough to get through the day, right? And like, you've got single mom swag all up in there. You know what the deal is. Like, time is already so limited. And now on top of it, you're cleaning up the mess when you still have to get the homework done and everything, right? And so my favorite part of all of this, since I don't have Wee Chef in my backyard anymore, how stupid of me. What kind of move was that? I love that you give these little everyday ways that you don't have to bite off the whole chunk in one. There are these little bite-sized things that you can do every day. You can let them measure this one thing. You can have them stir that up. You can let them pick out some ingredients. We can, you know, try some olive oil or whatever the ingredient is, right? I love this. I think it's so amazing. And I think that gives us, Steve and I for sure, some really great tips I'm going to walk away with and use. But I think gives our listeners just like this little tidbit of a takeaway. And I guess the other takeaway is if you do have Laura in your backyard, like go sign up, run.
Please, I'll take you. Yeah,
like please. Send your kids to destroy her kitchen.
It's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I notice like with parents too, it's hard for us to release, right? Like we want things to be,
you know, touched. Who you're talking to.
For instance, when I have parents come with, sometimes I have to be like, let your kid do it, you know, like stop doing it for them.
We get right? it. You have very fine motor skills. You've developed them wonderfully.
Right. You have
Let's
done
let have
amazing,
little Johnny
you
know? Have a try.
Right. You know, but sometimes it's really hard for us. You know, I had this one parent who was, you know, really intense about that. And she kept asking me, is this right? Is this right? And I was like, your daughter's three. It is perfect for a three-year-old. Wonderful. I am not expecting perfection here. Like I'm expecting your child to have this. So that's another thing. Your onions aren't going to be cut perfectly, right? So you need to, you do need to have that little bit of release because it's not supposed to be perfect when a kid makes it of any age, a kid makes it, right? So, yeah.
There's something about being so much at stake with us adults in this process.
Yes, that, I know, right?
That learning goes out of the window, right?
Right, and yeah. It's so funny. It's hard for some people, really, really hard.
Yeah.
What's last dish that you really enjoyed doing as a group or which has been?
So I know I've mentioned what we've been making this week in class a couple times now. I mean, clearly it's on my mind. I'll touch on a couple of things here. Once or twice a year, I really like to use eggplant. For some reason, it's a food that like a lot of kids are really against, and eggplant's delicious.
You love
as long
to prove them wrong.
Right. I love to prove them wrong. Yeah. It is my greatest joy. So it's super fun to make cinnamon rolls and see everybody super happy eating their cinnamon rolls. But like, that's a no-brainer, right? Yeah.
What's not to love about a cinnamon roll? Everybody's already on team cinnamon roll. Totally.
Right. But when you're doing something with eggplant or something else, and it's the point, you know, it's my whole point is to challenge, right?
Yeah.
And so we're doing eggplant this week. It has tomato sauce. The eggplant's filled with ricotta, Parmesan, mozzarella. So it's about introducing a vegetable that gets a lot of flack in a way that the majority of the kids are gonna like. Mm. So this week has been super fun. I had a little he was four or five on Monday, and his mom goes, Laura, he just said, this is so good. I have to dance, and sat there and danced as he ate his eggplant rollatini, you know? But again, this is my greatest joy.
Aww.
Of course.
He was like gobbling the stuff up. It had eggplant in it and he thought it was so good. He had to dance while he ate it, you know? And so these are my moments that are so happy when it's something like not just a given that it's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
And I have a kid look at me and say, I really, really like this, that it's just joy. For me,
you're creating a whole little generation of somebody feed fills. This, like, it's so good. I have to dance like that. It's so wholesome.
I could have died. Like, literally, I was like, oh my gosh, I am dying inside right now. So sweet. So cute. But it's other things too. It's introducing like beans and it's more the savory stuff where I really like get really psyched because kids love sweets, right? And those are super fun to make. And that's why I do every other week. My savory things aren't always a challenge, but I do kind of want there to also be a payoff that, okay, they know next week where, you know, but I also love that I also don't really need to give that payoff because the eggplant rollatini was so good that, you know, it's as good as the sweet stuff.
Can you spot cooking talent early on? Like,
You know what?
This guy or a girl.
Yeah. I do have some kids who really have like some good skills. I see it more in cake decorating stuff and those fine artistic areas versus like saying general cooking. I see kids who sometimes I'm like, oh my God, they decorated that cupcake better than me. You know, like, I can't believe they just really beautifully. You know, I'm going to be honest, I'm often multitasking a million things, right?
Managing like a whole group of children.
But some of these kids like really have some beautiful, like clearly they are artistic and clearly they have attention to detail and really well-developed motor skills and just some self-awareness. I wouldn't say, I definitely can see like love. I would say more like this. And I feel like a lot of chefs, it's something that they've loved doing for a long time, like well before they end up actually being a chef.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's totally true, but I think, you know, they had experiences as a child, or like they grew up in their parents' restaurant, or they made cookies with their grandmother or something like that, that instilled, because it is not an easy life, you know, to join the chef world. So you do, it is definitely something that you have to have really in your heart. So I do have a couple kids who do seem like they want to go that path, but we'll see, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Love that.
Laura, thank you so much for coming and joining us today.
This was so fun. So fun.
So fun. I'm always happy to catch up with my friends who are doing super cool stuff and giving us super practical tips on how we can all just enjoy our food a little more.
Awesome.
It was really fun, Laura. Thanks for being here. I think we all need Wee Chef in our backyards, you know? Amongst all the things that you mentioned, at least
maybe I have world dominance in my future.
There you go.
Maybe we talk about an online platform next, huh?
Yes, maybe. I hear you.
I'm winking.
Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely fun, and thanks for joining
us. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying the show. If you haven't already, head over to reroutingpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. Subscribers receive exclusive updates from Deep and I and are the first to know when there's a new episode out. That's reroutingpod.com. Enter your email and we'll make sure you don't miss a thing.
Walking down just alone in the street, I have that feeling that things going down for me. I have to sit down, breathe now, free my mind. I took a million steps, but still so blind. But now I see these bright lights, glorious sunrise. I just close my eyes, charge myself with love, flying doves above. We keep it on, keep on rolling. It's time for more. We just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Okay, we know that we want, so we sailing away. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more. We just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Okay, we know that we want, so we sailing away. Wondering when the time will come. Days are just going by, still on the run. I took the rough way, they say, oh, you're blind. But they don't see what I'm seeing, it's on my mind. And now I see these bright lights, glorious sunrise. I just close my eyes, charge myself with love, flying doves above. I rewrote my mind. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Okay, we know that we want, so we sailing away. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Okay, we know that we want, so we sailing away.
Welcome back to another week of Reroute.